David.
Hey, David. What do we do here?
We are the internet's premier Star Trek fan podcast.
That's right. That's exactly what we are.
Coming at you from parts unknown, roaming around the galaxy.
Before we get too far into it, I just want to say, hey, David.
Hey, Zach.
It is agreeable to see you.
It's agreeable. Wife unit. Greetings, wife unit.
Do I need a reason to see my wife?
Here is a trinket. Let us copulate. A trinket.
I don't know why they do that.
Your robo neck.
It's just so like they're not robots. I know they don't have emotion, but like I'm sure there's still humor.
Look at my first note.
Hello, wife unit. Yep, it is agreeable to see you. Have a gift, let us copulate. Oh, I sure hope they don't break up.
Yeah. Oh, foreshadowing.
What?
Anyways, as we mentioned, this is the Sar Companion. Today we are nearing the midway mark of Season 4 of Enterprise. Season 4, Episode 7. Name of this episode is The Forge.
That's right. And if you like what is forthcoming and you've liked what's happened in the past, like and send, do a review. Give us a fucking review. We would enjoy that. And if you like or hate whatever it is that we say, you can send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
Yes.
We're on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
And this episode opens with Vulcan 17 years ago and space basketball.
Space basketball.
It was definitely basketball, but like it wasn't because it was in space.
Yeah.
There was something weird there.
Before we start, we didn't open packs.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to get back to the space basketball, though.
My bad. It was space basketball.
So we're opening today packs from Star Trek Reflections of the Future. Phase one.
All right. I got some dilithium crystals.
Nice.
Your favorite. What the hell is this?
I have one of those as a lamp in my room.
Lazarus' ship. Oh, that's that one weird episode. If I remember right, whoops. If you want that card that I just dropped. Where the fuck? I'm going to grab it with my toes. I think this is, there's an episode in this, in the original series.
Yeah.
About a guy who comes from a different phase of reality.
Mm.
And because of like him phasing in and out of reality, he's literally disrupting like the space-time continuum.
Okay.
And in order to send him back, someone has to go back mm-hmm. for everything to restore order.
Mm.
And then at first he doesn't want to go back because once you go back, you can't come back.
Mm.
And so there's this really weird, like, psychedelic 8-minute scene in this episode where Kirk and this guy are kind of fighting on who needs to go back.
Hmm.
And he ends up going back and going away. But it's this really weird, like, meta-narrative about existence and multiverse.
So did he travel forward in time or backward in time first?
I don't know if it's time. I think it's more phasing into multiverse realities.
Got it. So I was listening to a thing the other day, and it was saying how you can go forward in time, but it would require, like, essentially the energy of a sun.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go backwards in time. But my question always has been is, if you go forwards in time, you know, what makes you think the Earth is still going to be in the same place? Don't you have to
calculate? Oh, you said this before, yeah.
Don't you have to calculate? Because otherwise, just out in the middle of space, dead.
Yeah, I mean, there must be some sort of mass.
Yeah.
Calculation and distance.
If you know anything about space travel, email us at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
All right, next I've got a Romulan scout ship Oh my Perfect. God, the fuck's going on there? It's an awful printed card.
Speaking, one more thing of time travel. I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you. Did you know that Stephen Hawking had a time party?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, and he said if he's having a party and...
A party.
He's not going to tell anyone about it until after it happens.
Yeah.
So that people in the future will know that it happens and then they come back in time.
Yeah.
Cheeky bastard. I've got a pad.
A pad.
These are terrible cards. The future USS Enterprise.
With three. Count them, three nacelles.
Three nacelles, yes, sir. The Collar of Obedience.
You got a...
I don't know if I remember that episode.
Someone's beard.
Yeah.
Looks like a Klingon beard of some sort.
A UV light source with Data. God, they really reached with these.
Yeah.
The USS Sutherland... Nebula class starship
with two nacelles and a pleasure thing in the back,
and a survey card. Cool.
Those are my favorite.
Scintillating.
I've got a photon torpedo.
Photon torpedo
from one of the first movies. Looks like a black box. Got a Senetian or Naren freighter. Which apparently Enterprise at some point, yeah, tractor beamed into Enterprise. We have the USS Pegasus. Pegasus.
Huh.
Don't remember that one, but we will get to that eventually. I have Atavacrin. Atavacrin was a device used by inhabitants of the planet Sarpedon to travel back into their past.
Oh, well, that's all we need then to go back and
Yeah, time. That's... Yes. Screw the sun. Deep Space Nine, baby.
Woo! I'm keeping that one. You guys can have it.
Here.
Oh, cool.
We have the USS Excelsior.
What is that, like Kapla?
Yeah.
The USS Kapla?
I think this is the one that...
I'm just referencing.
Sulu. Yeah, Sulu was the one who got it. Got the particle fountain. Looks like that's from Next Generation. And we have a Bajoran sailing vessel, which is from DS9, obviously.
You know, this is really pissing me off. We've opened a bunch of packs. I just want one autograph card.
We'll get there.
Fuck.
Can't hand them out.
I gotta go find a fucking hobby box of Star Trek.
Yeah.
One guaranteed auto per box.
So, as Zach mentioned, there was space basketball.
Yeah.
Prior to space
basketball. Yeah, there was.
Wait.
Dad was wearing a yellow shirt because I'm sure Lance Armstrong was fucking cracking off at that point.
Yeah. So, there's Vulcan 17 years. Okay, so Vulcan, the episode starts with some guy dusting off some...
Some Vulcan archaeologist looking at something.
Yeah, and he says, oh, it's... what's the guy's name? Surak Saval?
It's allegedly a... allegedly... Some filthy Serenite probably found it, and it was Surak Katra.
Surak. 17 years later, in the
Space
present day...
basketball.
The Saval and Forrest are meeting.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I just got to say one thing. Phlox hit a sweet jumper from the three-point line.
I think the basketball happens after.
I'm stuck on the space basketball.
Okay. You keep talking about it. I'll talk about the other thing, and then we'll meet. We'll converge here in a second. Saval says, "You humans, you scare us because you remind us of
us."
And Forrest says, "Ah, don't worry about it." And then all of a sudden, there's an explosion, and Forrest, the hero,
mm-hmm.
covers Saval and dies horribly in a MI6.
So it was Starfleet MI6 on Vulcan,
mm-hmm. blown to smithereens. Meanwhile, back on board Enterprise, what's happening, Zach?
Space basketball.
Phlox sitting back there like Ray Allen.
Little
spot-up shooter.
Fucking the jet over here.
Yeah. Yeah, Jason Terry.
I just don't... He looked like he didn't know what was happening.
Mm-mm.
And it makes me wonder if John Billingsley even likes basketball.
Probably not.
He doesn't seem like a type.
But he's got that wool zip-up drip.
Whoa.
Everybody else is wearing workout clothes. He's wearing a wool zip-up.
That's right. And then this is when...
T'Pol bursts in.
Yeah, T'Pol bursts in, and then Dad and T'Pol are walking. And I forget the specific context here, but Dad goes, "Your mother and interloper husband understand." Because he took a break. He's like, "No, your mother and husband." And you could tell it was interloper because he's always fighting for his boy Trip, you know?
Yeah.
He's trying to get that nut. Let him get his nut. That's his boy. His sister died. If you remember, she was one of 7 million.
Panhandle.
Georgia.
He's a good guy.
Bayou, come on. You heard the way he talks.
Trip is a good guy.
You saw him take his shirt off.
Have you met Trip?
Wow, that's a callback.
T'Pol reveals that Admiral Forrest is DEA dead. He's dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
That information was DOA.
Yeah. And who do the Vulcans think it is? Well, first of all, they think it's the filthy Blueskins.
It's just one of those things where it's like, really?
You guys really have a lot of animus for the Andorians.
Know, just again at that.
They also say that it could be this group of interlopers called the Cyrenites.
Those damn Cyrenites corrupted Surok teaching followers.
And Enterprise heads over to Vulcan, and the Vulcan investigator says, "So we've called you, Enterprise, here, a crew full of the best gumshoes in the galaxy, to figure out what the heck is going on."
I think it went more like this. Hey, Dad, yeah, you're the only ship we can send because you're the only one in the area that could handle something exactly like this.
And you've got some good detectives on your team. You got Malcolm Reed. You've got, well, I mean, he's got an ensign.
He's got the pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pilot's good at stuff.
The pilot is good at stuff, like lifting things and discovering a bomb in the wreckage of MI6.
There was a bomb?
There was a wreckage? Bomb.
And I just thought that was like some arts and craft project from some kid trying to make something that looked futuristic.
Yeah. And it did have, it looked like it had glow sticks on it.
It was like a Tamagotchi taped to like 8 green glow sticks with the opaque taken off so they were clear.
Yeah. It did look like a Tamagotchi, didn't it? Reed scans it for DNA. Right as it blows up, they get transported out. And they get transported back to Enterprise, where Phlox in the med bay says, according to the DNA left on the bomb, it was placed by a woman named T'Pau, who is a mongoloid bizarro version of T'Pol.
Sister of T'Blau. And brother, T'Blau's brother is T'Blam.
T'Pol. T'Pol, T'John. Yeah,
their father.
T'George.
To TNT. Or, as he likes to be called, Tint.
Tint. T'Chid.
T'Chid. It's like if you were to spell party, but without the Y, you do an I,
mm-hmm.
and then without the A, it's just PRTI.
Mm.
It's a more exclusive place to go to.
It's like a nightclub.
It's pronounced Purty.
Purty.
Which, by the way, is a note that you have for me. Is all I can think about.
I tried to go the Latin route.
I know. I get it. I was like, oh, he took the Y out and put a vowel in. I was like, what if we just took the other vowel out? Called it PRTI.
So, hovering above Vulcan now, T'Pol in her study gets interrupted, and her husband bursts in.
Hold on. Don't you think it should have been T'Pala, actually, while we're at it?
Well, you said her brother, and I said T'Pol.
No, I know, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, like, shouldn't T'Pol's name be T'Pala?
It should be, yeah.
Because Paul's a male name.
Yeah, it is. Unless he's spelled with an O.
Oh. Like that? Like an O?
Yeah. Or Polo. To Polo.
To Polo?
Which Dad likes to play sometimes.
Polo. Is this all happening in Dad's mind? Is any of this real?
Vosk breaks in. What's his name? Voss? Koss? Her husband?
Her husband?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Interloper?
He busts in and he says, "Hello, wife unit." And he says, "Here, your mother left you a trinket." And she says, "Oh, thanks for the trinket. Get the hell out of here now, because you're not my husband. I love Trip.
We have an agreement."
It's just an agreement.
Can we just get to the fucking cargo bay of dead humans?
Yeah.
That was
get
tough.
To it. It was tough.
You're looking at that and you're like, wow, they really filled an entire cargo bay with caskets to send back.
Dad's looking at each of them, touching the flag slowly. And Saval says, oh, what's going on in here? He says, did you lose your way to the shuttle bay, Saval?
If you're lost, Ambassador, I can direct you to your shuttle.
Actually, no, Dad. I came to tell you that he is a great man and you're doing a good job.
And Saval basically just breaking Vulcan protocol, ready to kick ass and take names, mm-hmm. son.
He's a cutie.
I will say this is such a good storyline.
It is.
Followed up after the augment mm-hmm. and all of that fan service there.
Yeah.
You could tell they knew this was the last season and they went all the fuck in.
Yeah.
And it sucks because... this season, the whole goddamn way through
mm-hmm.
until the second to last episode is really fucking enjoyable.
And they are there a bunch of like two-parters and three-parters?
If I remember right, yeah.
Like that.
There are, and there's a lot. I mean, you'll love DS9 mm-hmm. then. There's a lot of that, and it's like all fan service, and it's all...
yeah, visiting places that... like, Vulcan's really kind of a place that's kind of a mystery.
It's know? Underutilized, yeah. It looks like the kind of desert locale that you'd go to with a jacket.
And cool dad shades.
And sick dad shades.
So T'Pol and Dad eventually end up in the Vulcan desert to go chase down the Serenites.
It's a Vulcan desert. I'll expect it to be hot, says the guy in a jacket.
And as they're resting at night, suddenly a shriek comes through the valley. And Dad says, "What's that?" And T'Pol says, "Oh, that's a Saylot. And I used to have one as a kid. It was a tabby Saylot, you see. And it was domesticated. And my friend had a Siamese Saylot."
And then that's when Dad goes, "What's a Saylot?" And she goes, "Well, space kitten.
Space kitten.
Like space mountain lion.
Mad. It's a mad cat. Big old mad cat that doesn't like to climb."
No.
So they're waltzing through the valley there, and they meet this guy named Desert Wind. And he says, I'm walking the path of Serac as well. Why don't you guys come along with me? And they say, okay, that sounds agreeable. Back on board Enterprise, the gumshoes are going through the evidence, and they see through some security detail that the ensign, or the greeter guy inside MI6, he met with somebody, a Vulcan, who was carrying a strange package, and so they have to find out who this person was.
Don't you think there should be a hood policy when you're entering a secure location?
Absolutely.
Like, no hats? You know, you can't shroud your face in darkness?
Face clearly seeable.
It's like, oh, yeah, clearly that guy who's wearing the robe to conceal his face.
Yeah.
That's the guy. And, oh, it's definitely a Vulcan robe, too. So it couldn't possibly be an Andorian.
Oh, man. And so they Phlox says, look, he's in a coma. He's not going to make it. And Trip says, I don't care about his mind, damn you. I don't care about his body, damn you. I care about his mind.
Inject the patient with a stimulant, motherfucker. Torture him. I don't care.
Wake that fucker up.
Yeah. Wake him up, B.
Wake him up, B. Wake that fucker up. He says, Saval says, no, wait. Don't do that. I can mind meld with him.
I'll just mind rape him. He's literally unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And it just enters his brain.
Enters his brain. Finds out that one of the lead investigators...
Uh-oh, that's why he was being so weird. It wasn't just because he was a Vulcan.
Mad Dog Vulcan investigator.
Damn. Damn.
He's the guy. He's the hooded figure. Meanwhile, back down in the forge, the desert, Dad talks to Desert Wind, and Desert Wind says, I suggest you turn back. And Dad says, yeah, well, I don't know about that. You see, I'm a hero. I'm a gunslinger. And, hero of the expanse. I'm a dad.
Do you have any
foremost?
Look, put me in front of a skag. You skag?
You skag. And I'll beat him. I'll beat him down. And he offers T'Pol some water, and she says, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm Vulcan. I'm accustomed to these deserts.
Uh-oh.
Nope.
Whoop. Oops. Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah. The forge will destroy you.
Suddenly, out of nowhere, a fire sand comes.
Uh-oh.
And they have to run into a cave together.
Fire sand. Do you mean just like sand with lightning?
Yeah. No fire.
It's a sandstorm?
Yeah, no fire anywhere.
That's weird.
So they lift these very heavy rocks to trap themselves in this cave and protect themselves from the fire sand. And it's at this point the desert wind says, all right, I know who you are. The jig is up, okay? I'm taking you to the Serenites. Don't worry about
it. That's it.
And the fire sand breaks through the cave. It debilitates the desert sand, kills him, and it knocks out to Paul, and his dad runs over to talk to desert sand wind, imparts him with some memories.
He literally rapes him. He
mind rapes him. Second time. And
I hope that's not the Katra of Surik, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to know a lot about the forge.
Yep. And then he dies, and all of a sudden, Dad is all alone in a Vulcan desert.
Oh.
Which is actually the name of my next indie album.
All Alone in a Vulcan Desert?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Are we good? That's pretty much it. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Dad falls asleep, wakes up, thinks he's Vulcan, and they stumble into the Serenites.
They get into the temple. Dad knows stuff. I have a handful of things to say.
Excuse me.
Before Dad gets...
The forge will destroy you.
Before Dad goes down, Trip goes up to him and goes, Captain, what if something goes wrong down there? And Dad looks him cold dead in the eyes, the camera.
Something already happened.
Story has.
Yeah, I forgot he said that.
Dad just hates feeling useless because he can't. You know, that was when he was trying to offer to Paul water or his sunglasses. Desert Wind says, you know, stories say that Surik cooled the sands here with logic, and it's like, okay, are we word playing? Because like logic is cold, you know, and it's heartless, and so, but he literally used logic to cold something. And is that when, like, listen up, sand fire, if water puts out a flame, is that the same as air putting out flames? I guess it is, because both reach the same conclusion. And then the sand fire goes away.
How do magnets work?
And then another good line, you're suggesting a conspiracy? And then Saval, the crafty, deviant little sex snake, performs the mind meld. He can perform it, dude.
He does.
He's got a little secret little brain deviance in there. And
he's a deviant little sex snake.
Did you notice that they lift what is surely a 300-400-pound boulder like it was no problem?
Yeah.
Because it was probably made out of foam?
Yeah, that's why I said they lifted heavy rocks.
Yeah. Like what? Dad at one point says, is that going to be a problem? And then my final note is, damn, 2 mind rapes in 1 episode.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, shit's extreme, man.
Out here. Speaking of which, you know that guy who said that? He's like a real estate agent now, big time. Hide your kids, hide your
wife. Is he really?
Yep.
Good for him.
Yeah, you can go watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Check it out, folks.
Yep. That's the Star Companion.
Yeah.
Check it out, folks.
Email us at thestarcompanion@gmail.com. If you want any of these lovely cards, let us know, and we'll send them along to you.
Mm-hmm.
We also have stickers.
Yes, we do.
We would like reviews. If you would like...
Likes and reviews.
And reviews. And take care of yourself.